Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. It's great to be back on the mic with you. I hope you enjoyed your vacation, which I understand you spent time in Uganda. Good enough. Markets are holding up well, and it is too early to speculate about tomorrow's much-anticipated Fed meeting. So for the purposes of today, Burkhard, why don't we start with your latest travel notes from Uganda. Maybe you can briefly share with our listeners and our clients what draws you to the country, which Winston Churchill liked to call the Pearl of Africa.
Well, that'll be my pleasure then, and nice to be back with you on this call. So 20 years ago, I received an unsolicited letter for help from someone from Uganda. I returned a $100 bill expecting nothing, but as it sometimes happens in life, that exchange led to a pen friendship, and it made me curious, so I visited the young Ugandan man. When he couldn't find a job, I suggested this: why don't I buy some land, which was cheap back then, pay for you to build a couple of houses and structures, and in the meantime establish a charity. And a year later, when everything was said and done, we transferred the land and the houses from him to the newly incorporated charity. It was the beginning of a village for abandoned and orphaned children whom the government of Uganda asked us to look after. And that's what pulled me to Uganda more than 100 times during the last 20 years. Today, the 120 babies we received back then have become amazing young men and women. They are aspiring to take the future into their hands, to make theirs a better country. Just last Saturday, I enjoyed joining them and some other 800 invited guests for a half marathon on the shore of Lake Victoria. It was absolutely amazing.
Well, Burkhard, that sounds incredible. That's a very inspiring story to hear. And I know that you sometimes write about the investment perspectives for Africa. So can you share with our listeners, our clients, some of your takeaways on what they should consider if they ever considered investing in Africa?
Well, of course. So let me just start with a few general observations. So for one, my firm belief is that Africa doesn't need handouts. It really needs investments, because handouts create dependency, while investments can strengthen independence. They can strengthen sustainable development and the ability to stand on one's own feet. Second observation is Africa should really be rich. I mean, it's blessed by nature. The energy it receives from the sun, water, the resources, and of course its amazing people are endless. But it's been held back by poor governance and corruption. Such vicious circles still keep investors away. But then, without capital, it's hard to grow Africa's wealth. Africa could feed the world, but tragically, instead, it is dependent on food imports. On the other side, that very dearth of capital also means that the real return on investments in Africa can be very substantial, be it risky, be it in farming, fast-moving consumer goods, power, or infrastructure. And that's why, the way I look at it, Africa, I think, is particularly attractive for two kinds of investors. One, I'd call it the adventure capitalists who thrive in frontier or emerging markets. And the other I'd call the patient capitalists, or the impact investors who prioritize social impact over profit. Give you an example. Last week I spent breakfast with one of our most successful youngsters. He's a great guy. He was formerly the most unruly one, but like in the Bible, when the last turned out to be the first, he turns out to be our most successful one. He's an influencer, highly successful fashion and graphic designer in Kampala. He's 22 or 23. And he's also in the middle of organizing Africa's biggest fashion week, which he explained to me is going to take place in Kampala this December. Now, what makes fashion so incredibly exciting in Africa is that this is the world's demographically youngest, most populated continent, soon 2 billion people, who imagine they're all craving for fun, fashion, and music. So imagine a big, big wave offering many opportunities. for businesses, society, and investors, the more I understood the scale of this event, the more I saw the blessings of living and also investing in the world's demographically youngest, busiest, and most populated continent. And that's just one example.
Well, Burkhard, that's very eye-opening and sounds very exciting, especially as Africa's public image is at times tarnished. However, what would you suggest to investors who prefer to place some stock investments only? What should they know about Africa's stock markets?
Well, I think three things at least stand out. The first thing is, among African markets, South Africa really dominates. It's around 70% of all of African markets, and it's followed by Morocco and Egypt, and the rest is really small surprise. The second thing one should note is that while there are some very good liquid Africa frontier market funds actively managed, let's be very clear, there's rarely something like daily liquidity. But if you can wait for a few days, I hope that should be okay. You know, in Uganda, people often tell me that while the Swiss invented watches, Africans invented time. So take it, you know, like patience is part of a lifestyle here. There are, by the way, also some excellent Africa private equity funds, which usually take advantage of supranational risk coverage, i.e. World Bank, IMF support, and then invest into the attractive economics of infrastructure investments in utilities, energy, mobility, and what have you. The third and maybe most timely thing investors should note is that the soft dollar and the quest for resources are very clearly lifting many African markets and currencies like I haven't seen for long. Few people noted that the MSCI Africa Index, which is the most diversified and liquid index, if you will, is up 50% for the last 12 months. I mean, being up 50% for the last 12 months is pretty impressive, given that it reflects the economy not of a small, but of the world's most populated continent, even though the economy is relatively small. And by the way, here's a last thought. As usual in emerging markets, most stock indices are heavily biased towards banks. So if nothing else appeals to you, you can always look for the biggest bank in any country you like and then have a go at it. I think you should be doing okay, at least for now. So those are a few of my 2 cents on placing liquid investments into Africa.
Well, Burkhard, fascinating conversation today. It was great catching up with you, and thank you for sharing those travel notes with our listeners and clients, which are certainly beyond most investors' investment radar. And there's, of course, much else to talk about, though I suggest that we leave Wall Street, the Fed, and other market matters for next week's conversation. So with that, Burkhard, thank you for dropping by today. Stay well and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for having me, Dan. It's always a great pleasure to catch up with you, and you too have a great rest of the day. Thank you for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.